We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Hour number three of NFL Sunday here on WEEI. Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy. Fourier is off to do his TV pregame, but he will be back before the end of the show, which is at 1 o'clock. Patriots and Broncos will kick off at that point. Pats come in at 2-2, Broncos 1-3. And Wiggy, I just saw a tweet from Ryan Hannibal, WEEI.com. Brian Hoyer is on the field in street clothes. Could be a sign that he will be inactive today. And Jarrett Stidham will be QB2. So I think after we all watched the Kansas City game, that was sort of the impression that I had, you had, is that Hoyer doesn't do anything well. Stidham, I think, is at least more of an unknown.
Yeah.
Maybe, I'm not saying he's in any great shakes, but if something happens to Newton where he has to miss a series or, God forbid, more than that, don't they have a better chance if you put Stidham out there than Hoyer?
I think we're really down. I think we're now on the Brady plan, right? If something happened to Brady, you are screwed. If something happens to Cam Newton, you're screwed.
I guess
think about it, whether it's Hoyer or Stidham. Let's just say those were the two guys that they had.
Yeah.
How many games you realistically think that they won?
Not many.
No.
The two Jets games?
I had them at 6-10, but after seeing them play, they might win four games.
They were bad. I guess Stidham, you'd just hope for a little bit more of an upshot. Like, yeah, he's going to make mistakes, but maybe he can also make a couple plays, whereas Hoyer, it's just going to be turnovers.
I mean, I guess that's the silver lining out of the Stidham thing, but even then, I mean, maybe you make a few plays and you win four games.
So we'll have the full list of inactives coming out at 11:30. So we'll find out if, in fact, Stidham is active for the first time along with Cam Newton all season long. So we'll find that out in a few minutes. Through 5 weeks of the season, just four games for the Patriots, Wiggy, how are you feeling about the Patriots' place in the AFC? Is there anybody?
I told you they're top of the list, in my opinion.
Still
top of the list.
So even with the Chiefs adding Le'Veon Bell, you think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC?
Yeah, because I had said this. If Cam Newton plays that game, they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, you don't believe in any of like the butterfly effect thing? Like the Chiefs kind of played down to the competition because they knew it was Hoyer?
Because if Cam plays and they win, I think maybe we're like, all right, the Patriots are for real, right?
But that didn't happen.
No, I understand that. Well, I'm basing my opinion off of the fact that Cam also didn't play.
Right.
So you know that's
And the defense played well against Mahomes,
really well against Mahomes. You know, so I feel like the next time that they play, the defense, you know, they've always played well against Mahomes. Now, granted, sometimes it's only been a half at times.
Right.
But they've always, and this is the first game that we've really seen them put it together for most of the game. Mm-hmm. And if they meet each other again in the playoffs, I would not sit there and go, they can't beat Kansas City.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that they are in the conversation with everybody, but I also feel like there's a bunch of teams all of a sudden in the AFC that are pretty good. Like, I think the Titans are good.
Right. And when I say the Patriots are the best team in the AFC, I'm not saying that they're, you know, miles ahead of everybody.
No, they definitely aren't.
I think they're a coin. I think you could flip a ton of coins and that they could instantly change. Could be Tennessee. It could be the Chiefs. It could be the Patriots. I think they're all that close to each other.
Steelers? You buying in on the Steelers yet?
Let's find out today because they play the Pittsburgh Steelers. They play the Browns.
Yeah, that's a great game.
And the four wins that they've had, look at the teams that they've beaten. The Giants, the Broncos, you know, I forget who else they beat. The Texans, and then there's one other team. That's a combined win of three games for the four teams that they've beat. So when I look at this.
Yeah, Giants, Broncos, Texans, Eagles.
Yeah, so it's combined three wins. And when I look at the Steelers.
So the Steelers go in back-to-back weeks, they go Browns, Titans, Ravens.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So the next 3 weeks, for the Steelers are going to be pretty telling. You're going to find out how good they are.
Right. And for you, the Patriots, this week game you should win. But then you got the 49ers.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you'll get a ton of credit if you win that game because of the injuries.
They got so many injuries going on.
The following week is Buffalo.
At Buffalo. Yeah.
Right?
And Buffalo will be interesting this week, I think, too, after getting smoked by Tennessee.
Right.
Now,
the whole thing with their game
Monday night and everything else. Now they got Kansas City in Buffalo on Monday night. But that's sort of if you think Buffalo's legit, they got smoked on Tuesday Night Football, playing a really good opponent on Monday. Like, I think this is going to be a week. Obviously, Patriots, not so much. Like, this is one of those ones where they have to beat the Broncos. They probably have to beat them comfortably, or you're going to be like, eh.
Let's say they beat them comfortably, right? And then Kansas City and Buffalo play a close game. Aren't you sitting there going, oh, okay, the Patriots, they're in the mix.
Yeah, and if like the Browns beat the Steelers, or at least if that game's really close.
Right, you're starting to go, and that's what I mean. I think we're going to find out today, are the Browns for real or is Pittsburgh for real, right? We're going to find out Monday, is Buffalo for real or was last week just a hiccup that they had?
Because both are coming off losses, so it's pretty telling.
Right.
Because Kansas City, I think they do have a problem with playing down to their competition a little bit. I think they did it against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that they gave up 40 points and lost to the Raiders is kind of a bad look for them.
So
but if they go
into
Buffalo and smack them around, then you're like, all right.
Well, if they
right
go into Buffalo and lose.
Right. Well, then you go. Then now, at that point, I would say the AFC even more open than I thought.
Right.
But it feels like the teams that are going to make the playoffs in the AFC are all pretty good. Like, there's not going to be that team. Like, for example, in the NFC. Either the Cowboys or the Eagles are probably going to win that division and get in the playoffs. You're going to be like, they should not be there. Whereas the teams in the AFC, I think you're going to have good division winners and probably the way things are going, three good wildcard teams.
Isn't it crazy how things flip?
Yeah.
Because last year the NFC was like, oh, they got so many good teams over there. Now if you look at the NFC, it's really the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And
even the Seahawks defense is trash.
Right, and even the Seahawks defense.
But those are the two teams.
Those are the two best teams or I would say ahead of the pack in the NFC.
Definitely.
Tampa Bay is kind of still their offense is, up and down. New Orleans is kind of the same way. And when you look at the AFC, look at all the teams that potentially could be good. We talked about Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Baltimore, Kansas City, the Patriots,
They got six. There's six teams that have already won four games in the AFC.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty serious. And then that obviously doesn't include the Patriots, who have had two of their losses are to two of the best teams in football.
Right.
So, yeah, things will turn out.
Where do you feel like the Patriots are in the AFC?
I thought probably fourth.
So who would you have?
I would have Kansas City.
Okay.
I would have Baltimore still, even though I think they could definitely come down a little bit. But until I'm really proven otherwise, and then Tennessee. I'm with you on Pittsburgh. I think they're better than I thought, but they've also only beaten bad teams so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Patriots are on that level or better. I think they're probably better than Buffalo, even though the records are different.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to go based off a lot of what I felt in the preseason, Kansas City, Baltimore, Tennessee. And those were the teams that were better than them last year, and it feels like this year they are as well.
Right, but see, I would say now, even though I disagree with you on that, I would say that the Patriots are within arm's reach of taking over any one of those positions. So, I mean, that's the way I would look at it. Now, I would disagree with you, and I'd have the Patriots higher. Right. But it's not like I'm going to go, you're out of your mind.
Well, I'm not saying they're missing the playoffs or anything like right. that. I also think they end up winning the division. And this is going to be a year. Like, I know Kansas City has some fans in the stands, and mm-hmm. some of these teams are allowing some fans in the stands. But if there's going to be a year where a team without home field advantage is able to go on a run, wouldn't it be this year? Because it's not going to be the same environment.
Yeah,
you know,
I think home field this year means
not nearly as much.
Yeah, I don't think unless you get to the point where some of these teams they start allowing more people in, like
right.
we've seen in college football, right?
Some of the stadiums are
some of the stadiums,
yeah,
right? So start allowing that, and really when you think about teams in the AFC, Kansas City's the only team that allows fans, and I think Tennessee's allowing fans. So, mm-hmm. but I still agree with you. Home field's not going to be that much of a big difference,
and they're not going to be. I mean, either Kansas City or one of these other teams, maybe even Tennessee, is probably going to finish the year something like 14-2, 13-3. The Patriots won't have that kind of record,
right?
And there's only one bye anyway this year, mm-hmm. so they're going to play in that first weekend. But, can they go on
the
a run?
Here's what I think the key is going to be for the playoffs, right? It's going to be you looking at your team and going, okay, out of all our star players, who had corona?
Oh, so they don't get it again?
Don't get it again. Yeah. And then, like, let's say that Kansas City goes through the season, Mahomes, and then all of a sudden, week before a playoff game, he pops up on the list.
Oh, my God. Right. And then will Andy Reid be like, hey, for player safety, we should probably not play.
Right. But that's all I'm saying is where a guy might have to miss a game, because we're going to see that now where guys are going to miss games because of corona.
Mm-hmm.
Does that then bleed into the playoffs where you have a team, whether it's the Titans, and whether it's the
it won't be the Titans. I think they all
No. But,
yeah,
right.
They're good.
But like
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
And I think that's gonna be something that if I was a coach, I'd be nervous. If I'm the Patriots, I'm happy that Cam and Gilmore both had it.
Let's go to the phones. We got Bill in Connecticut. He joins us next. What's up, Bill? Hello, Bill.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Yep. Hi. What's going on?
Nothing. What do you got?
Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
What's up? What's on your mind?
If Matt Patricia loses today, is he going to be fired tomorrow?
I think he should be. I think it's long overdue.
Yeah,
it's long overdue.
I came to Detroit, there was a lot of work to do, and that's what we're trying to do.
So they're 1-3 right now, and they are in Jacksonville. They're 1-4. I mean, you would think
him and Adam Gase.
I don't know what they're still doing there. Because you would have thought Bill O'Brien was a little bit more entrenched. They just let him trade Hopkins,
right.
And he was running the entire organization. And after four games, they fired him. And he's actually been to the playoffs before.
Right.
And Matt Patricia's still hanging on. And then Dan Quinn, who, I mean, he also deserved it.
Right.
But that's a weird one to me. So my answer would be yes, but who knows? The way they're running things in Detroit, they might just keep him all year.
See,
and
I
hope they get a good draft pick and move on.
I can't see how Patricia or Adam Gase make it much longer based on the way the franchises are. Because even with the Billy O'Brien, right? When you think about it, some of it was record and how they were performing.
Yeah.
But then there was, I think, another part of it.
Players really turned on him.
Yeah. Yeah. You've seen it. J.J. Watt was saying, and finally fun again. And I think both in Detroit and with the Jets, I think it's the same type of atmosphere. It's one thing to be losing, but as a player, you go, all right, I like my coach. We're just not that good of a team versus to be losing and you can't stand your coach.
Yeah. You could join us at 617-779-7937. When we come back on NFL Sunday, we'll have the full list of inactives for both the Patriots and the Broncos. You are listening to NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Cam Newton joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots have placed three more players on the reserve COVID-19 list. Running back Sony Michel, offensive lineman Shaq Mason, and defensive end Derek Rivers. This one day after James Ferentz tested positive for COVID. Pats and Broncos will kick things off at 1 o'clock. We'll have the full list of inactives coming out in just a few minutes. College football, BC got blown out last night by Virginia Tech 40-14. The Bruins have re-signed Matt Grizzlick to a four-year deal worth $14.75 million. And in the baseball playoffs, the Tampa Bay Rays going back to the World Series for the first time since 2008 after beating the Astros in Game 7 by a score of 4-2. And in the NLCS, there will be a Game 7 after the Dodgers beat the Braves in Game 6. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, Keith Fourier and Wiggy. Fourier is doing his TV hit, but he will be back shortly. Time now for the inactives, brought to you by New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit newenglandrecoverycenter.org for more information. And Ryan Hannibal's guess was correct, as Brian Hoyer is inactive, meaning that Jared Stidham will serve as the backup today for Cam Newton. Your other inactives, Dalton Keene, once again, the rookie tight end, J.J. Taylor. Just too bad. I know a lot of people like J.J. Taylor. Miles Bryant and Carl Davis, a couple of the defensive players there. Carl Davis, they recently brought back. So that is your list of inactives today. I guess the two stories from that, three stories. So you have, obviously, Jared Stidham has jumped ahead of Brian Hoyer on the depth chart.
Yep.
I think all of us that watched the Kansas City game probably would agree with that.
I would agree with that one.
Dalton Keene. Still
MIA.
Now, I know there hasn't been a whole lot of practice time in order to
is he hurt?
Get onto the field. No.
So he's just...
No.
Yeah, well, we talked about this briefly a little bit with Tommy Curran, and just it's the same with Josh Uche, right?
Yeah.
Is he hurt?
He went on IR, didn't he?
Is he on IR? Okay.
I think Josh Uche did.
But I feel like it's... If you can't get on the field... Or you can't get any significant playing time,
right?
Then that just tells me that they don't think that you're ready. Like with Devin Asiasi, I think they feel like, all right, they'll get him reps, but we don't feel like he's ready to maybe be a guy that we need to say, hey, all right, we got to get you involved in the game plan.
Right.
You know, one of the biggest highlights of my career.
Yes.
Right. I know you like stories.
I do like a story time.
So one of my biggest highlights of my career is that, you know, and a lot of players, they want to know, especially offensive players, hey, how am I game plan comes out on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
How involved am I in? Is it going to be run heavy, pass heavy?
What are we thinking?
You want to know the mindset of the coach. And so my biggest highlight was when I was in Minnesota, there was a section on the coaches. You know, you see them all have the call sheets on the sidelines, all the different colors. There was a section on the call sheet that had get it to Moss.
Seemed like. Would be a pretty good game plan.
Pretty good
That's
game plan,
all
right?
My plan would be, you know, if I had Randy Moss.
Get the 8, 10, 12 plays that these plays.
Was it the Randy ratio they called it?
Well, there was that, but there was this like specific section on his play on his call sheet. Hey, I need to get the ball to Moss. If I call these plays, no matter whether it's man zone, the ball's going to him.
Mm-hmm.
Moss gets hurt against New Orleans, kind of tweaks his hamstring. Next week, we got a get it to Wiggy.
Get it?
That is blocked by Jermaine Wiggins.
That's all right. Right,
no, that happens to everybody. Look at Edelman.
Yes.
So get it to Wiggy. That
we
was
had
on
that
the
on the call sheet.
That's nice.
So
get
now.
Good.
So that was my that was like my proudest moment when I knew.
How many catches did you have that game?
I don't remember. But when I knew that there was a, yeah, you know, first down call, second down, yeah, third and short. Get it to Wiggy.
We have not seen that yet for Dalton Keene.
Or Devin Asiasi.
Or even, hey, Dalton Keene, you're going to play. We haven't seen that one yet,
right,
either. And so, no, he's not hurt. I mean, if you look at the injury report from Friday, the Adam Butler was limited / questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Edelman, Shaq Mason. Now, this was pre him going on the COVID list.
Right.
And Isaiah Wynn. So the only guys that you could have said were a injured scratch would have been Wynn, Edelman, or Butler. And all those guys are a go.
So
Dalton Keene, J.J. Taylor, Miles Bryant, Carl Davis, and Brian Hoyer, all five are healthy scratches.
All, okay.
You know, like all those guys could go, but they are not.
And do we have the full inactives?
That is. What do you mean?
Oh, okay. So Shaq Mason?
Well, no, Shaq Mason's on the COVID-19 reserve list, so he's not playing.
See,
so what happens is once you go on that list,
okay,
you're not on the 53 active man roster, so therefore you don't have to go on you don't have to be on this.
How long do you have to be on that list? Maybe that's where I'm kind of confused. How long do you have to be on the COVID reserve list?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because why
I'm guessing it's the similar thing. Wasn't it the 5 days and the two, depending if you get the two negative tests or if you're positive for it, you can do what with Cam Newton was after 10 days and you're not showing any symptoms, you can come back.
See, because I guess I'm just like a little bit confused on why like those guys like Sony Michel, Shaq Mason, why they can't play if they're not testing positive for coronavirus.
Well, because you were forced onto that list, and that's sort of the policy. Like once you're on that list, it's like you're on IR.
Okay,
like, so now you're on that list. You're not taking up a roster spot. You're not going to show up on the inactive list, but then you have to get reactivated, and they can bump somebody else. Like they just made a series of roster transactions. I don't want to bore everybody with it, but it was basically like Isaiah Zuber's back and Caleb Benenacht, and all these guys are taking the place of guys that weren't
okay,
on that
and
list.
We don't, and I guess we don't know how long you have to be on that list for, if you even have.
I feel like that's already changed this year. I feel like it was 5 days, then it was 10 days, and then, but it also depends on how many negative tests you get. So
okay,
I'm
confused with it.
Speaking of the COVID policy, Stephen Fall River wants to put us on hold. Apparently, what the hell? What is this?
Why does he? He's the only one that. It always happens every time you go to Steve.
Maybe because he's used to being on hold that he says, hey, I'll give him.
Right. But every time you go to him, he's always, you know, he's always on hold with the elevator music.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Aren't you listening to the radio?
That's the beauty of it. You get
Steve's calling on a cell phone. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Like you're listening to the radio, so when we say, "All right, we're
because it's the same thing." You're on hold. We don't play music for you. We play the show.
Yeah, so we'll say like, "All right, you know, I'm listening to the radio." Then when I hear, "Oh, we're gonna go to Steve in Fall River," you would think he'd go, "Hey, how's it going?" Rather than, "What's he when? Does he put us on hold?"
Yeah.
When in the back, I wonder.
I don't care for it. I don't care. I didn't even know that was an option on the phone. I wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah, I would think like, you know, I've called on a few radio shows in my past.
Sure you
right?
have. Yeah, Jermaine in East Boston.
Jermaine in East Boston. Yeah. That's not me. That's another Jermaine.
Yeah,
right. So usually when I call in, they'll say, okay, hold on. They'll get to you here shortly.
Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio
Very
down.
Simple.
And
yeah.
So I'll then listen. I don't then put the show on hold.
No. That wouldn't make any sense. You wouldn't even know what they're talking about anymore.
Right.
And then they go to you and you're like,
how do I know when they're coming back to me?
Not happening. The inactives for the Denver Broncos, much more significant. We already knew the two main ones anyway, but Melvin Gordon, Noah Fant, not playing. That was certainly the best chance the Broncos had was to be fully healthy because they do get Drew Lock back.
Right.
I think could be good. We were making fun of the guys that Peyton Manning has drafted. All the quarterbacks he has had post Peyton Manning.
You mean John Elway's drafted?
Well, yeah. But John Elway. Mm-hmm. After Peyton Manning, it was guys like Brock Osweiler and Paxton Lynch and I don't know. Drew Lock looked good at the end of last year.
Right.
He played a handful of games.
He was like 4-1 as a starter at one point.
Maybe 5-0.
Yeah, something like that.
He was pretty good. I thought they had a chance this year, and then he and like everybody else on that team has gotten hurt.
Yeah, they had a bunch of injuries. They lose Von Miller.
Cortland Sutton.
On a weird last play of practice. So, you know, Denver is one of those teams that I think people are looking like, all right, they're going to take that next step, but then they have so many injuries. But if you're the Patriots, you can't worry about that. You got to go out there and this is a game that you should be able to win, and you should be able to win it with no problem.
Jerry Judy's the guy. I mean, Tim Patrick's actually played pretty well, but Jerry Jeudy, the first round pick out of Alabama, he had that one play against the Jets on Thursday Night Football the other week where he just jumped over the D-back and ripped it out of his hands and scored a touchdown. So I'll be interested to see if they put Gilmore on Jeudy or if they put a just mix and match, maybe.
Yeah.
You know. Let's go to Mike in Providence. He joins us next year on NFL Sunday. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Keith, listen to you every single day.
Thanks, man.
Wiggy?
What up, Mikey?
For you. I've been dying to ask you this for the longest time. What was the play call in the Super Bowl when you caught that little out pass from Brady? And two, did you know you were getting the ball?
The play call was 66 return.
Woo.
And yes, I did know I was getting the football. Because in the huddle, Brady goes, I'm coming to you here. And he's like, get open.
Did you know to go right now and just kill the clock? Like, how did you know all this? Tell me the background.
Tell me everything.
We knew the situation, so we knew. Hey, here's the play we're gonna run. I'm coming to you. This is the same play. Little story here.
Let's do it.
Okay,
get in there.
This play that we ran was the same play that Brady got sack, strip, fumble, tuck rule.
That was the tuck rule play.
Yes. And like in the tuck rule play, he should have been throwing it to me rather than looking left and trying to throw it. I think it was either to Troy Brown or it might have been J.R. Redmond in the flat.
Okay.
And what happened was they had a blitz in the tuck rule game where you see Charles Woodson.
Oh, yeah.
He comes off my side. He's lined up over me. He blitzes. He comes off my side. They have a zone blitz. And so when Brady's getting ready to throw, they drop the D lineman out, and he gets in the passing lane. So then what ends up happening is, fast forward to the Super Bowl, the St. Louis Rams run a blitz, but it's a weak safety blitz from the other side. They drop the defensive end, who's Leonard Little, and to cover me, I'm running like I'm running a crossing route, but it's actually a return route. You start to like you're going to go on the other side of the field, and you hit the brakes and come out of it.
Yep.
And so Brady looks that way, and then when I go over, Leonard Little thinks I'm running across the field. I put the brakes on him, and I catch the football, and we know, hand it to the football referee because we're going to spike the clock and then bring the field goal unit team.
How do you like the memory on that? 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
How do you like that?
I could have listened to that for like 3 more hours.
I seriously could.
Yeah.
It was 1st and 10 on the Rams' 36-yard line.
We need more X's and O's talk on sports radio.
There's not enough of it. It's gone like the dodo bird. It's gone. And now we're going to bring it back. So now we're like, hey, we're going to be the one. We're going to be the one show that does it now. Yes.
Well, tune in for the real post game for Glenn.
Well, that's true. Well, he has that.
We are NFL Sunday, so
this is. We got to. So it was 1st and 10 on the Rams' 36-yard line, 21 seconds to go.
Mm-hmm.
A Tom Brady complete pass to Jermaine Wiggins for 6 yards, tackled by Leonard Little and Dexter McLeon.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tom Brady, spiked it. 7, and then it was a 48-yard field goal.
Yeah.
With 7 seconds
Remember,
left.
He caught. That was the moment I fell in love with football. I was 5 years old. Brady spiked it, and he caught it like this.
And
my little brain at that time was
cool.
Like, holy smokes.
That was the most impressive play of the game.
Yeah.
Not the Ty Law pick six, not the 48-yard field goal.
And it goes back to the tuck
rule. I missed those.
And it goes back to the tuck rule game where Brady should have been looking my way.
Yeah.
And he looked the other way. But this, and then in the Super Bowl.
How about going back to it?
In the Super Bowl, he's like, all right, I'm coming to you. And I said, listen, I'm going to get open. You just throw it. And
that's
kind of how it worked out.
You can join the show at 617-779-7937.
Think Foyer has any stories like that?
I don't think he can top that. No, I don't. We'll go around the league at 12:30 and our picks at 12:45. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
Right now, it would be a 53-yarder. Here comes the blitz, and here's Brady. He dumps it to Wiggins down to the 30, and now no question about it. They are in range, but they got to hurry. Maybe he can spike it right here and stop the clock.
That's what he'll do. He'll spike it here.
7 seconds. Here comes one of greater importance if he makes it. And it's right down the pipe. Adam Vinatieri.
a little bit of emotion there, Pat. You didn't care. I remember loving Pat Summerall and John Madden, like, overall. But, I mean, I know you got to be somewhat impartial, but that was a pretty big moment there. Summerall didn't say a word. He didn't say a word.
No, it was one
like,
of those.
That's one of the worst calls of all time.
It really is. I was just, like, as they were setting it up, like, I don't, because I was so excited when they won, I probably don't remember what the call was, but I was, you know, jumping around like a lunatic. But the fact that he just is like, and this one's right down the middle.
But wasn't he always like that, though?
And a minute, Barry. Yeah, maybe he was. Maybe I just, maybe it's just the voice I grew up listening to.
Because I think he was always like that. When did you ever really see him get, like, extremely, extremely emotional?
Yeah, maybe he didn't.
I mean, and you don't see many play-by-play guys get too, like, the
I guess especially like NFL, because it's like, yeah, right, because they're not a fan of either team.
Right, right. The ones that, like, the national guys.
But that's a big moment, and right, you just act like it's nothing.
The only one I noticed that really gets, like, emotional or like,
Gus Johnson.
I was going to say Mike Tirico. I heard him.
Tirico does sometimes. Gus Johnson used to go crazy for every big play, and that's why he was awesome.
Yeah, and I
bat it up. Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow!
Like, but that, it, more
he,
of that.
Was
I
he
need
a national,
all of that.
Was he a yes, national guy?
Yes, okay. Gus Johnson. He would do college basketball. He would do these crazy March Madness finishes, and he would lose his freaking mind. And all he was rooting for was big plays.
Right.
Like, he didn't care.
Like, Al Michaels is not real emotional.
No, he's not.
Nance is not? With
no,
Tony Romo?
But I feel like Nance kind of even, and I'm not a huge Nance fan, but I feel like he does a better job than Summerall. Summerall sounded like he was about to fall asleep.
Well, maybe
that was one of the best Super Bowls of all time.
Well, maybe at that time he wasn't 95 at that time.
Yeah, he was probably pretty sleepy,
kind of old.
But that was just nothing. There's nothing to that call. Adam Menetary. You're like, yeah, they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
for the first time. Ugh, frustrating.
Well, I was emotional.
You should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have to listen to the call. You weren't at home watching on TV. You happened to have a pretty big play in that game. We mentioned the Patriots inactives, and no huge names, really. The big story is Brian Hoyer's inactive, so Stidham will be the backup. No Dalton Keene once again. J.J. Taylor also scratched. But as Jeff Howe points out, Caleb Benenacht, Rashad Berry, Isaiah Zuber, and Nick Thurman were all elevated from the practice squad yesterday, and all of them are active today.
Right.
So who knows, you know, if they'll get out there or have any kind of a
role.
Isn't that
the new normal and
yes,
what we are? And
thank
that's,
you.
But that's what you want, though, right?
Yeah, these guys are getting an opportunity. You have the expanded practice squads.
And we don't have to postpone games. That's what we want as fans. We want this to, you know, unless it's one of those situations where you got 19 guys test positive on a Saturday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, you treat it as is. We got a couple guys that test positive. We move the next, bring the next guy up, and we keep the trainer moving.
All right, we'll get Christian Fourier back on the program. Also, we'll Tom E. Curran answers the question as to why the Patriots are playing this week and why they didn't play last week. We'll get to all of that with the final hour of NFL Sunday coming up here next. It's all brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, Kaplansky.com. By Zuti, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.